The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. And for the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called the house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides these already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus have some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, just as you were in one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience. So they too have now been disobedient, in order that the mercy shown to you, that they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. It's one of the more difficult texts in any of the gospels because of the way Jesus talks to this woman initially. Mark also records the same story of the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus to heal her daughter. But Mark blips out some of the details, some of the conversation between the two. But according to Matthew, we get the full text. And Matthew makes Jesus sound even worse. Why does Jesus act this way? Well, was he trying to get away to meditate and pray and this woman just got in his way? Here in Matthew, Jesus had just gotten done arguing with the Pharisees. The Pharisees had come to Jesus complaining that his disciples did not wash their hands before they ate their supper. And it was Jewish tradition, not scripture, tradition that you wash your hands before you ate. Jesus gets upset when scripture and tradition start to equal one another. So he just had it out with the Pharisees, and maybe Jesus was just tired. Or perhaps more likely, Jesus is trying to teach a lesson. At first, he didn't answer her. He just ignored her. Then the disciples begged him to send her away. And what he says to her in the gospel lesson is exactly what the Pharisees would have said if they were there. The bread is the children of Israel, and the dogs are the Gentiles. Yes, Jesus is trying to upset this woman, because ultimately this is a test of faith. Is she going to pass the test or not? He says, I came to the lost sheep of Israel alone. In other words, saying to the woman, I didn't come for people like you. He says, it's not right to throw the bread to the dogs. But both statements are correct. He did come for the lost sheep of Israel, and it's not right to throw the bread to the dogs. It's not nice, but it's correct. So if anything, we've got Jesus not, quote, guilty of something, but he's not being as nice and gentle as we would normally expect. Many times Jesus says that his work is among the Jews first. In Matthew 10, verse 6, he says to his disciples when he sends them out, do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. After the ascension, the message would be taken to the Gentiles. Yes, some Gentiles heard the message from Jesus and believed in him. The Roman centurion who came for his sick daughter is a prime example of a Gentile who believed in Jesus. In another story, a Samaritan woman tries to pick a fight with Jesus, and Jesus says to her, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Jesus is not being bigoted or prejudiced. He's telling the truth. The Messiah would come from the Jews. But this isn't the Jesus that we normally think about. First the Jews, then the Gentiles. And the statement about the bread not being thrown to the dogs is accurate as well. The children of God at this point is the Jews. She did not observe Jewish religion or the practices. And worse than that, she was a Canaanite. And the text is very clear to make that known to us. She was a Canaanite. Ever since the conquest, nearly 1,000 years before, the Jews and the Canaanites have been fighting for control of the land. Goodness gracious, nothing ever changes in 2,000 years, huh? The two groups are still at it. Who controls the land? But for 1,000 years, they have been fighting the Canaanites, and they were bitter enemies. So a bitter enemy, a perceived bitter enemy of Jesus, not from his perspective, but from everybody else's, a bitter enemy is coming to Jesus to ask for something. And Jesus says it's not good to give the blessing to the dogs. Commentators argue whether Jesus meant nice household pets or wild packs of dogs. It doesn't matter. He still called her a dog. What is Jesus trying to do? She certainly cannot help being born a Canaanite. That's just circumstance that she happened to be born a Canaanite. And yes, Jesus was being confrontational. He had scoffed at the Pharisees' traditions in the earlier passage before this lesson. But we think of Jesus as being mild-mannered. We seem to forget that he cleared the temple with a whip. And at times he talks to his disciples in very harsh languages. We like to think of Jesus as being safe. Well, when I think of that, I think of C.S. Lewis and his work, The Chronicles of Narnia. The Christ figure is portrayed as a lion named Aslan. And the children of the story, when they first hear about Aslan, they're afraid. And they say, is he safe? And the person telling them about the lion laughs and says, safe? Of course he's not safe. He's a lion, but he's good. Jesus is the Son of God. We sometimes forget that he's dangerous, but also powerful. And he's not always kind from our perspective. Like, wasn't a kind thing to ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? No, but it was a test of faith. The same thing as our gospel lesson, it was a test of faith. Not as far as not being kind, how about when the Ark of the Covenant was coming into Jerusalem for the first time, and it started to tip off the cart, and a man named Uzzah put his hands up to try to stop the Ark from falling, and God had said, no one but the Levites can touch the Ark or they die, and God struck him dead right then. We question acts like this because we're coming from it from a human perspective, but it helps us to realize we are not God. We dare not make God into our own image. No, we take God as he is and worship him, even with our questions and misunderstandings, and that is that. Stephen Chapman, a Christian author, wrote, "God is God, and I am not, I can only see a picture, part of the picture he's painting. God is God, and I am a man. So I'll never understand it all, for only God is God." Jesus wants to be number one in our lives. And in the test of the Canaanite woman, he's finding out who's truly most important to her. But Jesus makes it very clear that he needs to be most important in our lives when he says to Simon Peter in John 21:15, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" God will test our faith, and the gospel lesson is proof of this. So let the sting of him calling her a dog stand. Imagine if Jesus spoke those words to you. How would you react? I think a few people would be a little upset. But let's focus on the woman for a little bit. She's commended for her great faith. She was desperate. Her daughter was possessed by a demon. And how much will a mother do for her child? We would answer, probably without limit. She does not leave Jesus alone. Even when he made the comment that he was only sent to the lost ones of Israel, she would not stop. She humbled herself at the feet of Jesus, placing herself at his mercy. She doesn't move from the spot. She doesn't care if she's making a spectacle of herself. And she doesn't say her request once. She continues to beg and plead with Jesus until her request is answered. The more desperate we are, the more we rely on God. And we continually ask even from the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. Now, a word of caution here. Just because we desperately pray for something doesn't mean it's automatically going to be granted. We got to keep in mind it's only granted if it is God's will. Because sometimes God is telling us no. The woman was humble. She did not take the comment that she was a dog as a personal offense. She humbled herself. She admitted she deserved nothing. The woman knew what the problem was. She just didn't have an outside answer outside of Christ. The answer to our world's problems today is the same answer. It's Christ. If we just had more Christ in our society, we wouldn't have all the news that we read. I won't even ask how many were shot in Indy over the weekend. I can imagine another half dozen. But if we had more Jesus in our lives, we wouldn't have the crime and all the other social problems. That's why we spread the gospel lesson. She would beg, she would plead, she'd do anything that was needed. Many would have been insulted, but the woman knew her place. Do we know our place before God? We deserve nothing. James tells us in chapter 4, verse 6, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Faith like this is confident. Even the crumbs that fall from the Master's table would be sufficient. And notice, her daughter is not with her in the text. The daughter, we can presume then, is at home. She believed that just the words of Jesus alone could heal, that Jesus didn't need to touch her daughter or anything else, that all Jesus had to do was speak the word. That is incredible faith. That is faith tested, and that's faith triumphant. Christ is still waiting for us to come to him with faith, for our marriages, for our children, our grandchildren, our communities. And what would come if we had such great faith? So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.